WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you're just joining us, our big three headlines today. Well, the Democrats in the House passed a flimsy resolution condemning Trump for his alleged racist tweets against the squad.
Alleged.
It's not going to change anybody's mind about anything. And all the Democrats got up there and they gave impassioned speeches about racism and how terrible it is in this country.
They weren't alleged, Michael. They were racist.
We can't believe what this president is doing. And some clown from Texas got up and started articles of impeachment against him. And yeah, blah, blah, blah. Also in the big three, so the policeman who was accused of killing Eric Garner in a chokehold, charges will not be filed against him. The Black Lives Matter crowd is very upset about that. And rounding out the big three, we've got a heat wave coming. It's going to feel like an oven this weekend. It's already pretty hot this morning when I was coming to work. So,
no, it's getting the most traction on Twitter.
What we look like when
we look like. So, Natalie, well, we were talking about this app. There's a brand new app that's the, you know, the internet, all of a sudden, you know, everything goes on fire for 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So the new thing on Twitter is there's an app that shows you what you look like, and you can push the button old. So it looks like when you're old. So, Natalie took pictures of the two of us and posted it at Len Michael WR. And Natalie the whole time was doubled over in hysterical
She's still chuckling. She's like, and she's nice to you. She says, "You just look like a sweet old guy with no teeth, Len, you know." But you, Michael, you look like somebody who wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street with.
Just being honest.
The messages from people are hilarious. By the way, Natalie, do not post your picture of what you look like.
What does Natalie look like?
Oh, brutal. Just brutal. You don't want to see it. Natalie, I would erase that from your phone.
I need work now. Well, that's what I'm going to look like later.
Like Zorba the Greek or something?
The wrinkles and the sags are not good.
Oh, really? Oh, do you have a waddle?
Oh, you know what? I don't know if I had
that.
Check
out for the waddle.
So listen to these comments on Twitter about our pictures.
Okay.
Len looks like one of those dried apple granny dolls. And Rita looks like a really intoxicated Dame Maggie Smith.
That's good.
Lori says, "I was expecting Michael to look like an aging Wally Cox." That's a good one.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Mr. Peepers.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one says, "Go get Botox." Well, that's for me. Another one loves my, "I love your white afro."
Is that me or you?
I don't know.
Because my hair is spiky, Mike.
Oh, maybe it's you. Yeah. And one just wrote, "Oh, my God." I mean, it was really brutal. One guy,
as I said before.
Yeah, your picture, what, is brutal?
I don't have gray hair. I guess they expect me to be dyeing my hair.
You will be dyeing your hair. Yeah.
But that's stark. I wouldn't be going around showing that to anyone.
Let's see what Anthony.
I'm not going to show Chris. Oh,
did we do
Anthony? Now.
Let's see what the youngest member of the team here looks like.
Did we do Anthony?
Let's do Anthony.
Okay.
We should post Anthony.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
People would love to see what
he
looks like.
Keep your baseball cap on Anthony for the picture.
We might have to do a before and after so people know what he looks like.
That's true, too.
Oh, that's true, because we're well known and he isn't.
Right. Well, some of us are well known.
Well, I
know you now. It was a post today for someone calling you an egomaniac, so that's true.
I saw that one. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't read that one. See Natalie's vicious. I didn't read that one. Someone posted.
You were going to keep this from me?
Yeah.
I didn't get on Twitter and you could see it.
I was not going to mention that. See, I'm a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Natalie said, "Well, someone called Riedel an egomaniac." Mm-hmm. There you go.
I'm just confident. That's all it is. Confidence.
There you go.
Well, Bridget says we're good sports. She said she wants to start a petition to take the pictures down.
Joe Bartlett won't participate.
No, he won't. Well, look,
I'm
what
old
it looks
enough.
Like now.
Yeah.
That's
right.
True.
I'm old enough.
Yeah, you could run his picture just now and people would think we're not.
Oh, look at the picture. His press picture from 30 years ago tagged in the control room. You were a young, handsome man, Joe.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, what happened?
So were you. I got yours.
Oh, my picture's
up there,
too. That looked pretty good.
Yeah, 1971, right?
No, that was 82, I think.
82?
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of hair, though.
Wow, I did, yeah.
You're not a bad looking guy back then.
Not bad. Well, that's why they put me on TV.
I can see that, actually.
No, thank you. Are you doing anything to avoid talking about Trump's racist tweets?
Oh, no, we got to go back to this again.
Come on, Len, let it go.
Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah, let it go.
Well, here's what the president had to say.
I think it's terrible when people speak so badly about our country, when people speak so horribly. It's up to them. Go wherever they want, or they can stay. But they should love our country. I have a list of things here said by the congresswomen that is so bad. So horrible that I almost don't want to read it. It's so bad.
Okay. And here's what Nancy Pelosi said during this whole brouhaha. This was kind of crazy. Mm-hmm.
Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets.
Okay, so this became very controversial in itself.
It's so sad because you would think that there would be a given that we would universally in this body just say, of course. Of course.
No, only four Republicans said, of course. You know.
Yeah, two are retired, and the other, well, I think it's the guy who is leaving the Republican Party who's calling for Trump's impeachment.
Amish?
Yeah.
I urge a unanimous vote and yield back the balance of my
vote. I was just going to give the General Speaker of the House if she would like to rephrase that comment.
I have cleared my remarks with the parliamentarian before I read them.
All right, so the whole dust-up was there is a rule in the House guidebook. Yeah. You can't call the president racist. You can't use phrases like
that.
Call people names like that. So Congressman Doug Collins, here's the guy.
I request that the gentlewoman's words are unparliamentary and request that they be taken down.
All members will suspend. The clerk will now report the words.
Well, apparently that got voted down, of course, by the Democratic majority. So the resolution went forward. But it's empty. I mean, I understand that they want to make a statement, but that's empty. I mean, it's like when you win the keys to the city, you know, at the soccer players, you know, try opening any doors with those keys.
It's a pointless exercise.
It is.
But, you know, Trump had the best tweet, though, of yesterday. He said the Democrats are now wedded to the squad. He did that by picking on them. He has forced the Democrats to rally around four extremely unpopular people in. Alex Castellanos was on yesterday, the ABC News political analyst, and he pointed out that Axios poll that shows how wildly unpopular with swing voters these four America-hating lefties are. So that could be a problem.
Well, I kind of don't know if they're America-hating, but if you want to characterize them
don't
as
know.
Such... Well, but they're congresswomen, so...
So what?
So, but the point is, people say...
So what? They're congresswomen.
They want to make the
deal.
Well, but the argument is they want to make the country better. It doesn't mean you hate the country if you have suggestions to make the country better. That's not right.
You don't think Ilhan Omar doesn't hate
her.
The country as it
know.
Is constituted
I
today?
I don't know.
She hates everything.
I haven't heard her say that.
These women are... They're vengeful. If they got into power, they have a Stalinist streak about them. They would want to punish people that they disagree with.
You don't have a president who wants to be king and doesn't believe in the separation of powers. No, of course.
No.
He's wonderful.
Trump's a good street fighter.
Oh, he's great.
But he doesn't have the kind of visceral hatred that these women have for the opposition.
No, you're projecting.
Joe, can't you sense it in these women?
Oh, they're very angry.
Yeah.
Very angry.
Really? Resentful, bitter.
Do you read AOC's tweets, by the way?
No.
Of course not. Try reading them sometime.
I listen to her. She sounds angry to me.
Thomas in Long Beach. What do you have to say, Thomas? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Good morning. How do you do? I just think it was horrible the way Nancy Pelosi went out and attacked Trump for being a racist. But when the squad was accusing Trump, was accusing Nancy Pelosi of being a racist, Trump went out on a limb and said, no, she's not a racist.
Yeah.
You know, and then she turned around and like rubbed his face in it after that, like a slap in her face or something.
Yeah, Trump was rushing to her defense.
Politics is a tough business, Tom. What can I tell you?
I know, it's horrible. It's horrible. Backstabbers.
Well, I'll tell you, the language, though, I don't care, whatever side you're on here, this is just ridiculous that we're talking about this stuff, I think. I mean, you know, we should be better as a country, I think.
Absolutely, I agree. Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening,
Tom,
to our show. Yeah, I can't believe. Well, you know, I can blame the president, but I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying.
You've just been doing that all morning.
No, but I mean, we should be better. There should be better stuff that we can be discussing.
Ah, come on. A good political brawl is fun.
Are you kidding? This is great. I mean, he has deflected all talk of anything else.
No one's talking about
for the
immigrants
entire
in cages
week.
Exactly.
Yeah. With one tweet.
Yeah, Mueller was supposed to testify.
I mean, Mueller is just going to be anticlimactic when he gets up there next week.
So that got pushed back a week, huh? Is he going to testify next week?
Apparently, that's it. By the way, Trump has a rally tonight.
Oh,
this
is going to be fun.
North Carolina. Yeah.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Yeah,
it will be
interesting. Yeah, I'm sure we're going to have a little more references to the squad tonight.
He should bring the squad with him.
They're part of his campaign now. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Big posters of them everywhere at that rally.
Bring
no question about it.
Firing squad.
Exactly.
That's the squad he's going to bring.
All right, when we get back, it's your chance to win Lionel Richie tickets, and we'll get the latest on El Chapo. Don't forget that Mark Simone is coming up at 10 on 710 WOR. I want to tell you about iHeartRadio Broadway, bringing you the best of Broadway 24/7, brought to you by Mercedes, the best or nothing. Now, this great new station features music from all your favorite Broadway shows, plus podcasts that I host. There are three ways to enjoy the station. Visit iHeartRadioBroadway.com. Search Broadway on the iHeartRadio app or stream the Broadway station on all smart speakers and devices.
WOR.
Coming up on 8:24, in a couple of minutes, we'll have an opportunity for you to win tickets to see Lionel Richie at Radio City Music Hall. But now let's head to the courthouse. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, came out of court for a couple of moments to chat with us because he's got to run in and save his seat. It's crazy down there. Where are you exactly, Aaron?
Yeah, it's nuts, Len. We're just outside federal court in Brooklyn, where people slept overnight on the sidewalk here in order to guarantee themselves a spot in the courtroom to see the drug lord known as El Chapo sentenced to life in prison. He was convicted, you'll recall, back in February of several counts that mandate life. So the outcome isn't in doubt. But the circus that was the trial continues today as his wife is about to show up now, it looks like, along with his defense team. And we're waiting to see whether he actually speaks in open court before he's sent away, likely to Supermax prison in Colorado.
Aaron, what is the prosecutors are demanding some restitution, financial restitution from him. What is that all about?
$12 billion, Michael. And wow. It's what they call a conservative estimate of the proceeds of his drug smuggling. And El Chapo was phenomenally wealthy. Mm-hmm. Because he was an innovator in the drug trade. All of the tactics that we talked about, he basically invented how to squirrel away drugs from the eyes of the authorities, the tunnels, the boats, and to get cocaine primarily from South America and Central America into the United States. He made billions over 30 years, and the government wants it. Whether he's actually able to pay or will pay, that's another story.
Aaron Katursky, ABC News. Before you run back inside, Aaron, will he talk? Because he didn't testify, but people think he might talk today. And will one of his victims speak today as well?
We think so. And the victim hasn't necessarily been identified. We don't know whether it's a victim who was directly affected by one of the 26 murders ascribed to El Chapo, or whether it's someone who had a relative die of an overdose. And there are tens of thousands of overdose victims that the DEA has tied directly to El Chapo's control of the Sinaloa cartel.
And what about, do you think Chapo will talk?
I don't know. I mean, he has nothing to lose at this point, and it would be his last opportunity to say something to the world. And there are a ton of people, waiting to hear. I mean, there's a Spanish language radio. He's got a tent outside, a crush of reporters, as his wife, Emma Coronel, now walks with her head down, surrounded by cameras, entering this courthouse.
All right, Aaron, thanks for a little bit of your time. Run back in and get your seat.
Let us know if you hear any tunneling. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Katursky of ABC News. I'm telling you, I don't recall the last time that we put something up on Twitter that's gotten this much. If you're not aware of what's going on, there's a new app out there that shows you what you look like when you get old, assuming we're not old now. So Natalie took pictures of us, and then you put it through the app, and it's frightening what we look like. Anyway, she put it up at Len Michael WOR, and the number of Twitter responses is just tremendous. Lane writes, "Hope your voices hold up better than you both look." Lady J, I thought this was good. She said, "Looks like Waldorf and Astor are doing well." You know who those guys are?
They're the guy from the Muppet Show.
What was that?
It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare, and it certainly wasn't well done.
That's us. That's us doing
bad
the
jokes.
Show.
That's bad
the way
jokes.
We look.
That's us. Our bad. You're saying we have bad jokes, Natalie?
Sometimes.
That's us.
Yep.
Natalie, I need a ruling. Is Lisa's tweet here sarcastic? She said, "Can we please have a show dedicated to Riedel singing? It brings me lots of joy when he starts belting out those show tunes of songs I've never heard of." You think that?
I think that's fair.
Here's another guy. I don't know how he pronounces his name. Babalooch? Anyway. First impressions, Len, nice gentleman greeter at Home Depot.
Ooh, yes, okay.
Michael, institutionalized resident from the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's pretty
anyway,
good.
Anyway, we're having fun with it. Check it out at Len Michael WOR. And we are good sports for allowing Natalie to publish those pictures of us because we look brutal.
We look terrible.
Unbelievable.
Natalie doesn't look so great either, but she's not posting.
She's not posted that one. I don't blame her.
I might post.
That was pretty frightening. All right, now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Lionel Richie for one of his two nights at Radio City Music Hall. Just be the second caller who can correctly identify this song by Lionel Richie. If you know that song, call 800-321-0710 now. You can win a pair of tickets to see Lionel Richie at Radio City Music Hall on Thursday night, which is tomorrow night. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Time for latest news headlines. Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Hello there, Len. Supporters of Eric Garner say they're going to shut down the city. Garner's mother, Gwen Carr, says they're planning 11 days of protests after federal prosecutors decided not to file civil rights charges in this case.
We're going to fight this to the last straw. If I'm the only one out on the street, and I got all of these supporters behind me and those that you don't see.
Mayor de Blasio says the decision is up to Police Commissioner James O'Neill on whether or not there are going to be any departmental charges filed against the officer, Daniel Pantaleo. They did have a departmental trial. No decision has been revealed yet. The police commissioner says he expects that to happen by the end of August. El Chapo going to be sentenced in Brooklyn federal court this morning. The Mexican drug kingpin expected to spend the rest of his life behind bars. Joaquin Guzman accused of countless murders and flooding the U.S. with cocaine, heroin, and illicit drugs. Prosecutors demanding $12 billion in restitution, which is a conservative estimate, they say, of how much his smuggling has cost.
So where would that money go? That'll do what? Solve the budget
crisis? Anything
you
want it for, yeah, I guess.
Budget deficit, yeah.
I don't know. I it probably goes to the general fund, I think.
Yeah, I think it does.
A political mess in Mount Vernon has resulted in the police commissioner being arrested. This is absolutely crazy. Sean Harris was appointed to the position yesterday by the acting mayor, Andre Wallace. He then went to his job and was arrested for trespassing because there apparently still is a mayor, Richard Thomas. This guy's pleaded guilty to corruption charges and has promised to resign in September.
Wait, they've arrested the mayor?
No, they arrested the police commissioner, appointed by the acting mayor.
Aye.
The current mayor says he's going to resign in September, but the city council has approved a measure getting rid of him immediately. He's ignoring that. So the new police commissioner was taken into custody for trespassing and released after a couple of hours yesterday. You think Washington politics is crazy, huh? The House has voted to condemn President Trump for his tweets attacking four freshman congresswomen. The vote largely along party lines, with just four Republicans joining with the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi.
It's so sad because you would think that there would be a given that we would universally in this body just say, of course, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
So sad. The president's still not backing down. He says the squad, as they are called, have said horrible things. And the president's controversial tweets against four freshman congressmen has resulted in calls for the PGA to pull the 2022 PGA Championship out of Bedminster. Trump National Golf Club is set to host the first PGA Championship in 3 years. The PGA telling the Washington Post it's fully committed to diversity and inclusion, but they added that the PGA is not a political organization, doesn't weigh in on statements made in the political arena. So right now, it looks like the PGA is just kind of hoping this controversy will just go away, and they won't be forced to take action one way or the other.
What year? 2022?
2022.
Well, either way, he'll be out of office by then. Oh, no, he won't.
Are you kidding?
No, that's right. He'll be halfway through the second term.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy.
His tweets are not going away, so there'll be something else that will cause a problem.
Yeah, just wait a few minutes.
Just wait till tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Congratulations, Donna Ravello of Maspeth, Queens. She's going to see Lionel Richie. She knew the name of this song. Running with the night, so you are on your way. Coming up next, we've got the ABC entertainment guru Larry Hackett will join us. We will have his take on the Emmy nominations and everything else that's going on in entertainment. Real 31 whole ripened fruits and veggies ground into a capsule. It gives me 10 plus servings of fruits and veggies every day. It's not impossible. I have been taking Balance of Nature all year, haven't gotten so much as a cold. Well, now Balance of Nature is giving WOR listeners their best offer ever, extended for a limited time, 30% off your first order, and free shipping. with promo code WOR. Whether you want to try boosting your immune system or just try to get the right amount of nutrients on a daily basis, try Balance of Nature. They have thousands of unsolicited case studies. Take advantage, 30% off, free shipping. Give Balance of Nature a call, 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Use promo code WOR or go to balanceofnature.com and use promo code WOR to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping for a limited time. They'll even put you in touch with a free health coach to help you with any questions while you try them. Take advantage of their best offer ever. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code WOR.
Well, the Emmy nominations are out, and 137 for HBO, breaking all records. And here, who better to talk about the Emmys than ABC Entertainment correspondent Larry Hackett? Good morning to
you,
Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
So, Game of Thrones now, 137.
No, 32. All told. Yeah. All told, yes. Well, HBO has 137.
HBO, right.
Yes.
So, 32 for Game of Thrones. But by most reviewers thought the last season of Game of Thrones wasn't very good.
That's true. They did.
So, how do you account for all these Emmy nominations?
Well, here's an interesting point. The 32 nominations for Game of Thrones beats the prior record, which is 26 for the final season of NYPD Blue.
Right.
One of the most famous seasons of NYPD Blue. So sometimes it takes a long time for the Emmys to catch up. Sort of like a send off. I remember when The Sopranos was in its last year, it had an enormous amount of nominations. So it's one of the issues with the Emmys, right? Is that they're talking about Allison Janney or Julia Louis-Dreyfus. They win year after year after year. At a certain point, once a show gets in a groove, it becomes inevitable it's going to win, which makes the Emmys kind of boring.
They are boring, I think.
Well, the thing that you just mentioned, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, she now is tied with Cloris Leachman for 8 Emmys.
Exactly.
And she could break the tie by winning. However, I noticed that she's up against Rachel Brosnahan in the same category for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Very strong category.
That's going to be a tough call.
And she's up against Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who most of your listeners have no idea who that is, but she's the woman who's the star and producer of Fleabag.
What the hell is Fleabag?
It's a show on Netflix. It's a British comedy series. It is genius, I think.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
It was actually done live here off Broadway.
That is correct.
And you could not get a ticket.
No, you could not.
Fleabag.
She's also Fleabag, yes. It's about a woman in her 30s who drinks too much, has too much sex, is actually nursing a kind of tragedy that occurred in her life. She looks at the camera. She breaks the fourth wall. It's very, very clever. It's very British. But very well done. She's also the executive producer of Killing Eve, which is another big hit.
Yeah.
And another show that got a lot of nominations this year.
When did they start mixing up all these British TV shows with American TV shows?
Well, look, it's on Netflix. That's the issue, right? And Netflix is just this huge hose that just keeps shooting stuff out wherever they get it. And this happens to be a good show. One of the things I do want to point out that's interesting, if you look at the Emmy nominations all up and down the list, the absence of ordinary broadcast television nominations is shocking.
Yeah.
And it gets worse
and worse.
It's been
going on for years.
It has, but it's absolutely now without question. It's not even noted in the stories any longer.
Well, NBC did get 50-something nominations.
Well, This Is Us gets a lot. Saturday Night Live gets a lot. There's a lot of technical awards that they get. And there's some actor awards that go on there. But the idea for shows, the idea that if you look at the best comedy, best limited series, best drama, it's almost all cable.
Well, ABC and CBS don't have very good showings in there at all.
No, they don't. Because it's not the kind of shows that win Emmys, right? They're kind of standard fare. They get a lot of audience still at CBS, right? They still have enormous audience share, but not the kind of shows that get awards.
How come the old dinosaur networks are not as competitive when it comes to quality with Netflix and HBO? You'd think that they would be trying to. Well, they've got plenty of money.
I think the simple thing is standards. Look, there's still standards, right? You can't swear. You can't have sex. You can't have sort of challenging notions. I think also what's changed with cable is the idea of binging. You really can't binge on network television.
Right.
You have to go offline and not watch it on broadcast. That's part of it. The idea that you can stack up 5 or 6 episodes and watch all that at one time, I think, is one of the real advantages of cable now. That's how people discover shows.
You mentioned Fleabag on Netflix. Did you happen to stumble across the Ricky Gervais series on Netflix called Afterlife?
I'm not a big Ricky Gervais fan.
I'm telling you, it's really well done.
Is it a comedy?
Well, in a way, it's serious.
Yeah.
Well, his wife has passed, and now he's trying to get on with his life. But he keeps looking at video of his wife who spoke to him on the laptop. She talked into the camera.
Right.
So they keep cutting back to his wife who passed, and now he lives alone with the dog, and he works at this penny saver newspaper down the street. It's actually very well done. And I'm like you. I'm not a huge Gervais fan.
Why don't you guys like him? I like him.
The original
Office.
Self-involved.
A little too much? Oh.
Self-involved. The shtick that he would do at the Golden Globes, I find tiresome.
Well, that was well. Okay, now who would you pick for Outstanding Variety Talk Series? Listen to this combination of shows. Michael has not watched one of these shows: The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Full Frontal Samantha Bee, Jimmy Kimmel, Last Week Tonight John Oliver, Late Late Show James Corden, and Late Show with Stephen Colbert. So Fallon,
Fallon's the only one.
Fallon didn't make. No,
he didn't make it.
Seth Meyers didn't make it.
But I think John Oliver.
John Oliver will win.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Oliver will win. Michael, I know he doesn't agree with your politics. He's brilliant.
I thought
there's not a flat second in the show, right? It's a half an hour once a week.
But I thought everybody's gaga for Colbert these days.
No, but Oliver will take a subject like Amazon or just a dull subject that you would never think, and for 15 minutes does a monologue, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
He throws in references, comedy references, and it's really a well-done show.
And very biting observations, too, which are very good. You know, I think, like I said, every second of that, it's a half an hour once a week, so it's perfect. I mean, Colbert is great, but then...
He's got to do it every night.
And he's got guests, and it's boring, and all that sort of stuff.
Speaking of boring, how boring have the award shows gotten now? I remember they used to be glamorous. You used to tune in the Oscars, and you'd see all the big movie stars in tuxedos and gowns, and it was fun, classy.
And it's ironic that with TV getting better and better and better, right, and getting more adventurous and, you know, really pushing the envelope, the award shows remain unbelievably boring.
Terrible.
And I don't think they're going to improve. And one of the issues also that you have in the Oscars, and you will have with the Emmys, despite the fact that TV is better, fewer people watch the same shows.
Right.
So I just said Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I'm guessing the vast majority of people listening to the show don't know that. And they're not going to tune into the Emmys to watch her win. They don't care.
Right.
So that's one of the things that really, really hampers these awards shows. It becomes really for insiders.
Yeah. It's ironic, too. I think about the Tony Awards, an area I know, and Broadway's never been bigger, but the awards have never been more boring.
Right.
Everyone knows these shows. They're worldwide titles today.
Right.
But they can't put on an award show that really celebrates an industry that's booming.
Award shows and... elections need to be completely disrupted, right? They've figured out a new way to do them because they just don't work. And everyone says this every year, but, you know, the academies have a stake in this. The actors in the different trades have a stake in this. And they're very, very reluctant to make any kind of real changes. I mean, they may get rid of a host, and that's seen as being revolutionary. But these are three-hour slogs of all these different awards where people care about five awards. That's all they care about.
Right.
And they care about the fashions and the dresses.
But also with television, it's so spread out now. It's so many different services, so many different networks, so many different shows that people hadn't heard. You know, I think what makes a award show is when people are invested. They've all watched the movies or they've all
seen you're rooting for some
shows. But
and there's a competition between, you know, someone in the same category. Like you just started talking about the, you know, the variety shows. That's an interesting idea. You know, the fact of the matter is you read the stories in the paper today and it's like HBO has this many nominations and Netflix has this many. Who cares? That's such inside baseball. No one cares.
The other thing, we used to tune in to see what people were wearing for the red carpets, but every night there's something out there, some gala out there. There's some red carpet with people in fashion. It's not unique anymore.
Or on their Instagram feeds or everywhere else. Exactly. It's nonstop.
Totally.
There is no season to it. It's
By the way, that new app that makes you look old, Larry did it last night.
Oh, yeah.
It's frightening.
It is frightening.
It really is frightening.
Not as frightening as mine.
I thought it would look better this morning, but it doesn't.
The light of day doesn't make it better.
No, it doesn't. All right.
Right. I have a face for radio.
Larry Hackett, ABC Entertainment correspondent. Thanks a lot, Larry. When we get back, a popular Broadway show is closing, and Bon Jovi's house is for sale. We'll tell you how much money you'll need to buy it.
WOR.
Well, I'm a little surprised to see another Broadway show closing. Boy, a bunch of them are closing.
Yeah, a lot of them have gone down. Lost a lot of money on Broadway this past season, in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, but they made a fortune on Broadway.
They did, but only a handful of shows make all the money. The rest struggle.
Is this unusual that so many shows are closing?
This is...
Or par for the course?
Shows do tend to close during the summer, but there's just an unusual amount this time. But that's because there are more Broadway shows than ever before.
So the latest to announce its closing, Waitress.
Yes. Well, it's been running a good 5 or 6 years now.
It's not, but it's going to stay open until January.
Yeah.
Let's see. Waitress has grossed more than $149 million in New York alone. Well, that's not bad.
No, it's done very well. It's made a lot of money for the investors. And it still will be playing across the country and around the world. I saw it with Catherine McPhee, and she was quite good in it. Did you see it? You didn't see it.
I did not see it, no.
It's about a waitress.
Well, I know that Jesse Mueller went into that from Beautiful.
She did.
She won the Tony for Beautiful playing Carole King.
Very good, Len.
I know my stuff.
Oh, okay? You do.
And she went in, was she the original waitress?
She was the original waitress.
Jesse Mueller, yeah.
Yeah, but they've had a lot of replacements.
The
one who really sells out is the woman who wrote it, Sarah Bareilles.
Right.
So when she goes in it, then it's a hot ticket.
I'm sure it is, right?
So, yeah. Bon Jovi's house is for sale in New Jersey. The price is undisclosed. You have to be really rich to be able to find out how much he wants for it. But I'm looking at this house now. It's a very elegant kind of French-style country manor right on the water. It's got a great pool, very elegant circular staircase, mm-hmm. and he's got French furniture. It looks sort of like Marie Antoinette lives there, not a rocker.
Yeah.
Nice kitchen, though. Oh, I'd like a kitchen like
that. They don't announce the price, though.
No, this is where you got to be like, you know, really, really rich before they'll tell you.
Yeah, give if you have to ask, you can't afford it, one of those deals.
But, you know, sometimes it's fun to pretend you're rich and get a tour of some rich person's home. Like, pretend you're interested in a buyer. You can see how the other half lives. I like this kitchen, though.
Mm. Interesting story on finance, yahoo.com. How much they get for reruns, you know, the residuals, you know, so all the actors who are on Friends.
Sure, they make a ton.
Do you want to guess how much money they make from reruns?
A year.
Each of the six on Friends each year gets?
A couple of million bucks, I'd say.
Yeah, a couple of million. 20 million each.
20 million each?
Yeah, per year.
20 million each after, and that show went off the air how long ago?
It doesn't matter. Let's see. That 2015, they reported that. Friends ran until 2004. Seinfeld, he and Larry David get the bulk of the money. They earn about $400 million every syndication cycle. I don't know how long the cycle is.
$400 million?
Yeah, each syndication cycle between them. Ray Romano, everyone loves Raymond, gets $18 million a year.
Quickly, Larry David.
$18 million a year?
Ray Romano?
Really?
Loves Raymond. Absolutely.
I mean, it was a really, really good show. Friends.
I have a funny Larry David story.
When we get back, we're going to head to Staten Island and the scene of the crime 5 years later, the death of Eric Garner. 9 o'clock.